I'll go in here and pray for a second. Father, I come and I say thank you for today. Selfishly, it's my birthday. Realistically, I ask that you just calm nerves. Just be with me today. Lord, be with us. I came and I practiced last night. And I prayed for every chair here. And Lord, I just ask that you just show up, speak through me, make me disappear, and just, Lord, you have all the glory. Pray all of this in the name of Jesus. So, hi, I'm Brandon. And I'm supposed to light a candle, and my wife is over here nodding and winking. And so,
I thought she just had a nervous tick.
Yeah, well, that too. She gets nervous anytime I get around fire. Today is a special day for just a whole bunch of reasons. It's my birthday, so I turned 36. I don't look a day over 40. So. Today is the pink candle, and we'll talk more about the pink candle and why it's pink, for those that have always been curious about that. And then for guests, family, visitors, normally I'm not the one up here, so don't judge this church by today. Keith set me up for this, and we'll see if we can make this work. Let's open up our Bibles. We're going to go into Luke 2 today. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I'll give y'all a second to go there, because I don't have a page number in my Bible. I've gone techno, so it's a little easier to keep it all with me. Luke 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Whenever you read the word, you should pray. So, Lord, as I read your words, I pray you use me. I pray and ask, Father, that you keep me on target, that you put away anything in me that isn't fitting, that you strengthen me for this task. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. So I stole that last part from Don Carson, but to be fair, he stole that from Psalm 19. So, interesting story about that. I've always loved that verse, and I've never known why. Before I was Christian, it was in a song by Sublime. I wrote a song off of that song, and I always loved the song. I just had no idea why, but it didn't. So I have a tendency to procrastinate big time. When I was a kid, I did it just as the "I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it now, I'll do it later" kind of mentality. And as I've grown up, it's just kind of been a habit that I do without even realizing. And I knew I would be preparing for this for about a month now. And it wasn't until this week, and my father was supposed to be here today, and so I actually wrote down, it wasn't until this week when my father said he was going to be here that I said I was going, that I suddenly realized, wow, I need to write something down. Dad's not here. He's at home feeling sick. So if you're watching, pray for you to feel better. So for the last month, I've read through this verse several times and just trying to let it marinate and let God speak to me. And I've not taken the time to write anything I've heard down. I like to think I have good excuses. I work pretty hard, sometimes long hours. I definitely spend time with my new baby, doing a lot of things I never thought I would do. My wife and I are still trying to figure out how to be in a relationship together. So, you know, I can probably keep going, but the reality is I have the time, I just don't have whatever the opposite of procrastination is. So this week, I found myself writing this and pondering something that, quite honestly, I never saw myself doing. Years ago, before I was a Christian, Dad told me one day that he thought I would make a great youth minister. And I remember exactly saying, no, you're crazy. No way. Not that I don't like children, and not that I don't like to teach, and Lord knows I like to talk, but I really hate public speaking. Like, I hate it so bad, in college, I took a CLEP course. They locked me in a broom closet with a pen, a paper, and a recorder, and told me to write some notes and make a speech last not longer than 5 minutes. So that's how bad I hate public speaking. I lock myself in a closet to do it. Maybe forgive me. When Keith mentioned this, I really thought there was no way. He sent a group of us a text and said, hey guys, I've been thinking about this. Would you guys 1 week take this, 1 week take this? And my first thought was, nope, not going to happen, no way. And then when he laid out the timeline for it, it fell on my birthday. And I just had this weird feeling that was on purpose, that was for a reason. We actually reshuffled, and I had the opportunity to speak the first week, but Michael spoke, and kind of wished I had, because I'd be over now. He's back there smiling. But I just knew that for some reason it had to be today. So here we go. I had to start preparing and trying to figure out why this was the day. So probably the best place to start is with God. And as much, I don't like this phrase, I love the heart behind it, but the phrase itself just bugs me. He is, after all, the reason for the season. So let's start there. This week is special in the Advent season, and it's marked by the pink candle. And I've always wondered why this candle is pink. I mean, the white candle is the purity of Christ, and that makes sense. But, you know, why is the third week pink? To be honest, I always thought the fourth week was pink. Why not the first week? And I still have no idea. My guess, getting ready for today, I found a blog by a sister in Christ who put it like this. The third candle symbolizes joy at the soon advent of Jesus. It marks a shift from the solemn tone of the first two Sundays of Advent, the focus on preparation and hope, to a more joyous atmosphere of anticipation and expectancy. The message to the shepherds was one of good tidings of great joy. It serves as a reminder that the Christmas message is one of rejoicing. She went on to say, the lighting of this candle is also a reminder that God came for the most unlikely and insignificant people. This candle is known as the Shepherd's Candle. Each candle has a name, has two names actually. It's known as the Shepherd's Candle, and that's why we're in Luke 2 with the shepherds hearing the good news. It's also called the Joy Candle. And while I understand it refers to the joy that Christ is coming, I guess I thought that's what the whole Advent season was. You know? But her words helped me to understand it a little different, helped me to write this, that helped me to understand more of the reason why it's called the Joy Candle. Michael did an amazing job illustrating the roll-up door moment, the anticipation, the preparation. Keith last week talked on the Bethlehem candle, and also called the Hope candle. He put it, this week we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God, and that's the basis we have for hope. So that brings us to the joy candle. We don't have to hope that Jesus will come. We know he's coming. It's going to be soon. This isn't a second coming of Christ thought. This is us as Christians living through the words of our brothers from centuries ago, being taught that Christ will come, hoping he will come, and then knowing he will come. As the blog put it, expecting he will come. I had the radio on the other day, and the DJ was talking about how his young son would cry out into the baby monitor and just know that his father would come no matter what. And how that helped him understand the gospel even more. And that really hit me. When Cora cries, she normally doesn't even know why she's crying, I think. I think she just wants her mother eye close. And so she cries, we come running no matter what. And when we're holding her, she just crawls all over us, just wiggles as hard as she absolutely can. And while she's wiggling, she doesn't have the slightest fear that we're going to drop her. She just expects us to hold her. So, as a person born in this time, I have difficulty trying to understand life 2,000 years ago. My mind tends to get stuck on the little things, like did they have clocks? You know, were they late to school because there was no clock to tell them when they were late? There was no bell ringing. So they didn't have time marked on the calendar like we do. They didn't have an Advent wreath to count the days until the arrival of Jesus. The anticipation must have been just unbearable waiting for that. Like Michael talked about, the anticipation waiting for that roll-up door moment, all the work. For me, it's when I was a kid at least, it was the presents under the tree. When I'd start seeing the presents show up, and you know, at least in my house, Mom would have the presents wrapped a month ahead of time, and they would already be under the tree after Thanksgiving. You know, one day there'd be one, the next day there'd be two or three, the next day there'd be two or three more. And I felt like Christmas would never get here. You know, days up until Christmas, I wouldn't be able to sleep. I was so excited, so much anticipation. And I have the same problem now. It's just not anticipation. I lay awake thinking that I get this, that I wrap this, that I get everything done needed. But when I was a kid, it was all the presents. I would even sneak around and shake them, just trying to get an idea of what might be in it. The anticipation of the joy that was to come was what I was waiting for. And another slightly overused. To put Christ back in Christmas, we should be just as overjoyed as our brothers and sisters were that Christ is coming. Now that we have the joy of knowing Christ is near, and today we have the privilege of looking back and seeing Christ coming and seeing what he did for those unlikely and insignificant people, I realize why I was supposed to be up here today. I was supposed to learn to expect this joy. I've seen Advent wreaths my whole life. I've helped make them. I've helped light them. I've been around them my entire life. I've never understood what they were. I've only understood them as just a sign that Christmas, and to be perfectly honest, the Christmas presents were right around the corner. The Sunday school answer, though, is as I've been preparing for this, it's helped me see the real present that I've already opened. And that is that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. We are all, after all, unworthy of this present. And there is nothing inside of me that made Christ want to hop up on that cross. And, you know, We say that. We say that more in this church than I've ever heard in church before. And sometimes it feels fake. Like, if Roy were here, I'd point him out, but I'll just call him out now. we were talking on the phone the other night, and he asked how I was doing, and you know, I gave the obligatory, "Oh, I'm fine," and he called me and said, "No, really, how are you doing?" And I said, "Well, no, I'm really fine," but I knew that wasn't the real answer. And I was sitting there at that particular moment in time, had all my bills paid, my wife was cooking, my daughter was asleep, I was scrubbing the toilet in a house that keeps the cold away, keeps the wind away. So I felt like I had everything I needed, but I knew deep down that I still need Jesus. Keith likes to kind of always point out the song, "Every Hour I Need Him," and it's not true. It's every minute, every second, I need Jesus. Just like there was nothing special about the shepherds that the angel of the Lord came to. In their day, they would have been the last ones to get any important information. It would be like if I went to the person who's lowest that you can imagine, like the person, you know, as far away from you in life as you can imagine, and I went to them and I said, "The most important news that you'll ever get," and I told them that before I told you. That's what happened. Another thing that Don Carson likes to say is that I'm just a beggar trying to tell other beggars where to find bread. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day, or to put it slightly differently, unto you is given this gift today. Unwrap it. I spent a lot of time on BibleHub.com trying to get ready for this. If you go to BibleHub.com and search for, you know, verse, whatever verse you're looking for, they have sermons that date back all the way to the 1600s from various pastors, and relating to whatever it is that you search for. I found one from a Frederick Huntington, who was a preacher in the late 1800s, who said, "Visions are transient. The festival is but for a day. Angels go away into heaven, but the indwelling Christ abides." And that is the present that we have. So pray that we enjoy it. Pretty quick. I'm Methodist, so you know, we like to get in, get out. So that's what I've got. So let's pray. Lord, try to make light, just because this is the joy day. This is the day that we have the anticipation coming to a head. We know that He's near. And Lord, I pray that You just lighten our hearts, Lord. Help us to see the joy, the privilege, the excitement has a reason. Reason is for the season, but that reason is Jesus. He is our Lord, He is our Savior. He died on the cross for us, for our sins. And all He asks is that we accept Him and put our faith in Him and be happy about it. So on this joy candle, these shepherds were giving great news. Everyone here has that great news. Lord, I pray You just soften any hearts and break any barriers.